Good morning and welcome again to church. It is great that you've been able to join us this morning. My name's Alan, I'm part of the staff team here and it's my pleasure to be opening the Bible and unpacking the scriptures for us through this crazy, crazy time. The start of the week, we've had new announcements with regards to COVID restrictions and the new three-tier system has come into play. We're high risk in Sheffield, and that has an impact for us in the way that we do life and the way that we do church. And but in the midst of that, here at church, in the buildings, we've had a really busy and productive week. So on Tuesday, there was the student pizza gathering, or as it's now called, the gathering for students with pizza to go. And James and the team have done a fantastic job shifting with the shifting times to ensure that that could still go ahead in this COVID season safely and socially distanced. We've had a collection for Food Bank in partnership with three other local churches in this Crooks area. That was on Wednesday morning and Saturday with the team here. And we've had the prayer day. We've kicked off a new prayer day. Every Wednesday is going to be prayer day here at STC. And at the moment, what that looks like is opening the doors at 12 o'clock for a time of prayer and prophecy, just waiting, listening to God for what it is that he is saying to us as a church community, as a family at this time. And you'd be more than welcome to join us. And we're going to try and put some stuff out online. So if you're not able to be physically with us, if you're not able to be physically with us, you can at least join us, be praying for us and share what it is that you feel that God is saying at this time. There's also the 9:15 prayer walking. And this week we had half a dozen people come and join us from community church and from the student population. And again, join us here physically if you can't, but you're able to go and prayer walk. It's been a really rich and vibrant time for us. And then the final thing to say, last Sunday, amazing, amazing day here in church in person, and a real sense of the presence and the power of God as we've gathered together in these socially distanced times. So what about today? Today we are embarking on the same theme. We're continuing with our new normal in this time of transition time, the new normal. And as part of that, having finished Colossians last week with Tom, we're going to start on the book of Philippians. And today's reading is going to be Philippians 1, verses 3 to 11. And I like a title. Last time, squeezing lemons and growing in the crucible of COVID. Today, again, I'm going to offer two titles. The first is Paradise Lost, with a big question mark on the end. And the second is The Way That You View It Is The Way That You Do It. So first off, Paradise Lost. Paradise Lost, a 17th century poem, epic poem by John Milton. And I came across this line from that poem in recent weeks, which says this: "The mind is its own place, and itself can make a heaven of hell, a hell of heaven." The mind is a place, its own place, and itself can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. So the way that you do it, says Milton, is the way that you view it. Or the way that you view it is the way that you do it. You know what I'm trying to say. That our minds can take the circumstances that we find ourselves in, and that can, and the mind can make it a good place, or it can make it a really difficult place. And that's a little bit about what I want to touch on today. And just to illustrate that, I want to tell a little bit of a story. We love a good story. We're not going to IKEA today, but I'm going to take you to my sixth form. So I grew up in a small village in Wiltshire. I had two older brothers, And so with two older brothers, all of the kind of taboos and the pushing of the boundaries had been done by the time I was growing up. So I had an awful lot of freedom. And the one thing that really kept me in line was the fact that I swam. Now, there came a point during my GCSEs where I was getting up at the crack of dawn and traveling, swimming for an hour and a half, traveling before going into school. It was fine for me. I could sleep when I got back from back home from school. But for my dad, it was becoming a real burden. He was trying to work a full-time job. And my mum was struggling with her physical health. So she was unable really to help. So at age 16, my dad remortgaged the house and sent me down to Kelly College, a private school, a boarding school on the edge of Dartmoor, which had a fantastic swim team. And so I went from this place of real freedom to a place of real restriction, where I was told when to eat, when to sleep, when to study. And there was a prep plan and a program for every moment of every day, 24/7. Even at the weekends, there were responsibilities and things that we needed to do. It was a struggle. It was a real struggle for me. 2 weeks in, I took a trip to be part of my old swim team. We went up to Cardiff for a big competition. My mum had driven down to Devon, picked me up, taken me to Cardiff for the weekend, and then dropped me back on the Sunday evening. And in the course of being away from the restricted place, experiencing that freedom, being with old friends, I decided that I just could not go back. It's not where I wanted to be. It was a horrible, horrible place. Oh, how could my parents have done this to me? And so I spoke to Mum on the way home, and she'd agreed that I should pack and get ready, and tomorrow morning I'd get picked up and off we would go. She'd take me home back to this place of freedom and space. The following morning, I sat in my suitcase, all my stuff packed, boxed up, ready to go. And my mum came in and said, when I got back to the guest house where I was staying last night, I got a call from your dad. And he said, you've not given it a go yet. You're not coming home. Snot, tears, weeping, struggling to breathe as I was weeping that bad. And the message that I got was, try. Give it a go until half term. And if you still feel the same, still feel the same way, then come on home. It must have been one of the hardest things that my mum did through her life, was to leave me in that mess as she drove away back to Wiltshire and back home. So I trudged on through till half term, hating every minute, determined that I was going to leave. Half term came, no one was speaking to me about whether or not I was going back. So middle of the week, I had to broach that subject. Said if I made it, then I could leave. And they grudgingly said, okay, you've done that, let's do it. And I began to look at local schools and what that would mean for my swimming with mum struggling as she was. Finally, I decided that actually Kelly College boarding school was where I needed to be. It was the best place for the time. I went back after half term, sucked up my pride, and had an amazing, amazing couple of years. The way that I viewed it now, I had to make the best of it, had shifted. Not only did I stay for my A-levels, but I actually stayed for an extra year so that I could swim and stay around as part of the community. The way that you view it is the way that you do it. Was it, for me, paradise lost? Yes, from coming from home. But actually, there was real opportunity in that place. Let's read the passage together. Philippians 1 and verse 3 says this. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I don't hear you say. So the context here, Paul is once again in chains. He's in prison. And we learn in the later half of this chapter that he's actually there with the threat of death. He could end up with a death sentence for the crimes that he's committed. And so he's in a place where he can either survive it, endure it, or he can thrive in that place. And what we see in the passage, and what we know of Paul as we've read and we've studied his word and the letters that he's written to the early church, is that he's not a man in these circumstances that just survives. He thrives, and he's continuing to push forward the purposes of God, the kingdom of God, expanding and moving on in his life. So how does Paul do this? What's Paul's secret? And I want to say, as I read this passage, there's loads that we could say, but I just want to draw out two things. It's thanksgiving for Paul, but it's also then the way that he makes decisions. So if we look at verse 3, it says, I thank my God every time I remember you. And where it says, I thank my God there, yes, it's thanksgiving, but it's a little bit richer and it's a little bit deeper than that. The words used there in the Greek language that this was written in are literally that Paul is thankful for God's grace. And if we go on to verse 4, it says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. And the word joy there, again, it's rejoicing, it's being full to overflowing. But again, it's a little deeper, it's a little richer. And what it literally means is to rejoice in the awareness of God's grace. So it's rejoicing because of God's grace in our lives. And very simply, grace is a gift. It's a free gift. And so for Paul, life, even though it is hard, is a gift to him. His connection with the Philippians and the Philippian church, who he is giving thanks for, is a gift of grace to him from God. He's in chains, but that's a gift. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is about our decision making. So I'm going to skip down to Paul's prayer for the Philippians. Verse 9, it says, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. What does that mean? My love abounds. We pray that your love abounds. Well, we hear at the moment of Twitter, social media being like an echo chamber. There's that sense that what I put out, what I interact with, is reflected back to me in the algorithms that are out there. So I hear really the message and my own opinions coming back to me so that my opinions are reinforced. I feel stronger and more confident in what it is that I think and the way that I operate. Now, this isn't about opinion necessarily, but this is about love abounding. So if we think about that, about love being in an echo chamber. That as I love others, as I put them first, as I choose to serve other people, love abounding means that it's an echo chamber. It begins to bounce back to me. Love, when I love on somebody, they love on somebody else. When I serve somebody, when I'm generous, that can bounce around and begin to magnify abounding love as we love and serve one another. It goes on to say this, that your love may abound so that, more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best. to choose what is right, to make good decisions, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, what can we take from that? That in the decisions that Paul is making, in the way that he is choosing to live his life, there are two drivers. One is his love and service of other people, and the other is to live to the glory and praise of God. To live to the glory and praise of God. So doing in every situation, seeking to follow in every moment of his life, the highs, the lows, the mundane, and the fantastically exciting moments, to live for the praise and glory of God, so that who he is magnified and reflected in Paul's life. So two things. There's thanksgiving. There's being aware in every moment the gift of the day and the moment, no matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how hard, no matter how fun, the gift of God to us at every moment of every day. And then there's our priorities, the way that we make decisions, making decisions based on our own whim and our own will, or making decisions to serve other people, putting them first, and choosing what God wants for us over our own preferences. And I would see this in terms of the journey of our life, traveling along in a car. Who is in the driving seat? Who is in the driving seat of our lives? And who in this moment do we trust to get us from where we are now in the middle of COVID to wherever our ultimate destination is? And in COVID, it's probably not going to be where we were. It's probably going to be a whole new different landscape. Our tendency in the pain and in the struggle and the loss and the restriction is to turn inwards, is to focus on our own stuff. As I shared from my IKEA experience, that when we get squeezed, it's often our own feelings and our own loss and our own frustration then that spills out as we're squeezed. If I'm in the driving seat through this terrible time, through this tough time, then it's likely to be a tough time. The way that I'm going to view it through that lens, it's not going to be the healthiest for me, for us. So instead, we need to shift ourselves out of the center of our lives and out of the center of our world and allow God to drive, Jesus to drive, which means, as we know, love God, love your neighbor. We love others, we serve others, we put others' preferences, needs, wants, desires above our own. Whether that's our kids, whether that's our family, whether that's our spouse, whether that's our friend, whether that's our small group, whether that's our work colleagues. We live a life that serves and blesses others to the glory and praise of God. It's powerful, powerful stuff. We need to shift out of the driving seat of our own lives, and we need to allow God to take charge. Kelly College, for me, boarding school, restriction, all that struggle. It took a word from my dad, from my father, to say that you've not given it a chance. It took for me to receive that word, no matter how hard, through the snot and the tears and the struggle that that was for me, to press into what God has for me. To begin to be thankful, to see it differently, to make the most of it. The way I viewed it shifted. And it became an absolutely fantastic part of my life and part of my story. And ultimately, through which God got hold of my life and led me to faith. So in conclusion, if this season seems to be a paradise lost, if we're waiting to reclaim what's gone, We know from recent announcements, from moving into another round of further restrictions and lockdown, that that's not coming back anytime soon. We can wait and we can drag ourselves with gritted teeth through this time. Or we can begin to allow thanksgiving, recognizing each day as a gift to us. And the way that we view it will change. And we will begin to see the opportunities that God is placing all around us. We're called to serve. There's a whole world out there that needs to be served right now, that is struggling. We can be beacons of hope and life as we seek to have our minds renewed by the grace of God. And we need to do that thing of practicing and prioritizing other people, bringing glory to God in all that we do, shifting ourselves out of the driving seat, listening for his voice to us, the word of hope, the word of direction, and we know that our God will see us through. Should we pray together? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would help us to be thankful, teach us what it means to be thankful, not the church list that we would go through, thankful for the dog and for the cat and for the wife, not necessarily in that order. Thank you for the house and the car. Lord, thank you for the job and the provision at this time. Not that simple list, but being thankful in every moment of every day, receiving each day as a gift. Help us, teach us, Lord. And as you do that and change our minds, Lord, that we would begin to see more and more of you at work in our lives and the opportunities that you've placed around us. And finally, Father, I pray the words that Paul prayed over the great church in Philippi, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we may be able to discern what is best and that we may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being with us this morning. Keep on, church. God is with us. God is for us. See you soon. Amen.